Michael McGrooch is an Austrian-Californian multimedia artist who is the author of 5 books, a podcaster, and a political advisor. Michael is on the neurodiverse spectrum, and he is a champion for people to find their uniqueness and to live original and authentic lives.
Oh my God, I'm not fitting in. I'm an adolescent. I want to kill myself. I don't fit in. I'm not the best. I'm not the great. I want to just can't. I mean, we have the highest suicide rate right now of kids because we can't fit in. We can't see how to fit in. I would love to know how much art has saved humans to not give up, because the system relevance of, you know, we put you in a form, whatever we need you, is killing us because we are all one of one. And we need to learn to collaborate, not to be segregated in race, sexuality, gender, to fit what the system needs. Who cares? We created the system. We can change it.
My beautiful souls, I give you Michael McGrooch. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sex, Drugs, and Jesus podcast. My name is Devan and Serafino. I am your host, recording from New York City. I'm so proud to be able to say that. It's been a long road to get me here, but God has been good. Today, I have my guest, Michael McGrooch. Did I say that right?
Yeah, perfect.
And he's an author, a podcast host. They've written 6 books. Let me just read this little snippet. So he's from Newport Beach, California. Former art commissioner in Newport Beach, California. Although Michael is Austrian-Californian multimedia artist, totally self-taught, author of 6 books, podcaster, speaker, and a guide to business people all over the world. One of your books is called The Smart of Art, A New Art Consciousness to Awaken Our Enthusiasm for Art. The podcast is also called The Smart of Art Podcast, The Power of Art and Creativity. Can you tell us about your books, please?
The books are all about art because it gave me so much awareness that I could actually write 6 books about art and or from art. And I found there is a basic misunderstanding. It's system relevant, where it's about the art product. And if your product fits into the system, what the system needs, you are famous. If your art doesn't fit, like Van Gogh, it didn't fit. Nobody wanted it. They call you crazy and it is not worth anything. So, but now it's the most expensive art in the world, right? So, you see, whatever the system says is not correct. Whatever news says is not correct. It is what people need, what the system needs, and everybody caters to that. So if I'm going to be today need to have a mustache, I wear a mustache. If I have to change my hair, I change my hair. Just to be part of the tribe, which is DNA-driven. We are all DNA-driven. We want to be unique. We know about our uniqueness, that we are one of one, consciously or subconsciously, but we also driven to be a part because we're part of this human weave where everybody is a part of. It's like, it will be like in nature. Do you think the giraffe says, I'm better than you, zebra, because I'm taller and I have a different pattern? No, they are all working together. And the beauty of life living is in, because we are all unique and all different. Imagine if we would be all the same, and we are getting close to that already, and it's very boring, if we would be all the same. You are one of one, so show it. Show that you are one of one.
So is that like at the heart and the core and the epicenter of all the work that you do, the podcast, the books, to inspire people to just be themselves?
Yeah. And I had such a hard time till 50. To fit into systems. I was driven to fit into systems, and I was partly system relevant, but I didn't enjoy it. So when I worked with Robert Evans, who did The Godfather and Chinatown, and I lived in his house and met everybody. I wasn't satisfied. I was afraid of losing that system relevance. You know, I was satisfied with our friendship. We had a real good friendship. See, the human is always the juice, not the systemic. You know, if you were the mayor of New York, I wouldn't care. If I don't like you, I don't like you. If I like you, I dance with you. You know, it's just it doesn't matter what your system relevance is, because I know you are one of one and I'm one of one. So we got to dance or we don't. That's just how it is.
Yeah, spoken like somebody who's found their authentic self. You know, it's the quest in life that I think everyone is on. As they say, the race is with ourselves, not against other people. And one of the main challenges is discovering who you are, why you are. And that is huge. And a lot of unhappiness stems from people trying to be like everybody else. And art in and of itself is beautiful. We've got our colorful backgrounds going today. You have, you know, in your books, y'all check out his art. Everything is going to be in the show notes. This website is going to be michaelm.com. That's Michael with two L's. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, X, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, YouTube. All is going to go in the show notes, you know, and it's all very colorful, all very thoughtful. And I'm super excited that you're using art to inspire people. So the next time my listeners go to an art show, they're going to look at art from a different perspective. And some people who've never been to art shows are going to start going to art shows now. So he says that you're self-taught. Talk to me about when you first started creating art. What made you pick up that first paintbrush or pencil? What was your first media? Why did you even start?
Okay. So I was born in Austria. So I was a sick child and I could go out in nature and stuff. And we had a little yard where I created a little shed for me, you know? And it was so fulfilling, the creation. As you know, when you create something, even the podcast, it's so fulfilling because you're allowing something to come in and dance with other humans. And that's what's so fulfilling. And when it is fulfilling, then what it says is you are on the right path. The fulfilling is the feedback loop that you're on the right. I didn't know that then. I was just like everybody, blind, just trying this thing. I liked it. Then I wanted to be like Jimi Hendrix. I wanted to be a guitar player. And I bought an electric guitar, but 45 years ago or longer, it was forbidden in Europe systemically that you play an electric guitar. You have to learn first a classical guitar. I learned 2 years classical guitar, and I can about play four chords. And because I wasn't aware that I was neurodiverse, and also... dysgraphia, at dyslexia with dysgraphia, meaning my hand-brain coordination that I would need for playing guitar was not available. If my brain couldn't do that, doesn't matter how long I work, it wouldn't do it. But nobody taught me that, and I found out. And after 2 years, I said, you know, I love music and everything, but I guess I'm not playing an instrument. And then about a half a year later, a friend of mine, they had a disco party and there were people playing. And they said to me, oh, the percussionist is out. Can you just, I know you're good with the rhythm and stuff. Can you play? And I said, I have never tried that. I'm not good with instruments. I said, just try it. Just do cowbell on the straight, on the one, and just do it. And I started blooming up. I played the congas, everything. I knew instinctively what to do. I just danced around and then I did record and was invited to sessions and all this stuff. So this taught me. See, art taught me, try a lot of instrument to find yours because you are one of one. If you were Jimi Hendrix, I can't copy you, but I can be a percussionist that is good enough where I feel comfortable with to play openly and at events and everything and do a record. So this is what I teach, what I say to every person that has kids. Never buy a piano or a saxophone or anything expensive. Just borrow it. Let them try everything and let them feel where they resonate with. And then when they play, you know, a wild disc, then you can buy a piano or whatever when you see that they're flowering up. And I discovered that art gave me so much self-esteem every time. And you know it. We all, when we are middle age, we all think, oh my God, I'm not fitting in. I'm an otherness and I want to kill myself. I don't fit in. I'm not the best. I'm not the great. I want to just can't. I mean, we have the highest suicide rate right now of kids because we can't fit in. We can't see how to fit in. And then we listen to it once. We see one movie, we see one performance, we go to, and we change our mind and keep living. I would love to know how much art has saved humans to not give up, because the system relevance of, you know, we put you in a form, whatever we need you, is killing us because we are all one of one. And we need to learn to collaborate, not to be segregated in race, sexuality, gender. To fit what the system needs. Who cares? We created the system. We can change it. I'm not against systems at all. I'm very pro-systems. But I think it needs to be updated that we see, oh my God, we can do so much more if we work together. In art, you know, art isn't racist. It isn't sexist. It's not genderist. Because we had quarterbacks playing an old woman. In a theater, please. It doesn't matter. It's about the piece. A symphony orchestra doesn't look and say, oh, you know, we all have to have the Harvard students and they have to be all white or have to be all, they have to have a Greek. You go there. It doesn't matter. You play the flute better than anybody else. It doesn't matter where you come from. That's what art does. Art is our biggest teacher. There's no bigger teacher than nature and art in the world.
Well, I concur. I agree. My prayer is that people, their minds and their spirits become open and their eyes become open to see the lessons that are available through art and music, because it is there, but somebody, it has to be activated. Like, people have to be able to see. And so, but you know what? There's always a new day. As long as we're breathing, we can start all over again. You wrote in my research of you that you felt like art creation saved your life. You were mentioning like suicide and everything like that, and how it helped your self-esteem. Were you ever suicidal at some point? Or, you know, how bad did it get for you?
I don't think there's a human that never thought about suicide, especially with so much systemic pressure. I don't believe there's anybody that's, you know, unless you get born, go to school, and you're the quarterback right away, and everybody loves you and everything. I think everybody thinks, because I've never met a person. This is the funny thing. I've never met a person that said, oh, I fit in totally. I'm loving the system life. And I love what they ask me to do, the generalizations of all the white people, of all the black people, all the Asian people. You know, I love it. I fit totally in. Nobody does. You can talk to Taylor Swift, to anybody. They've never felt that they now feel they're filled in. But I don't even know that, because I know Oscar nominees and Oscar winners that said they didn't do anything for them. It actually put him in a very challenging position to create better and more what people expect. And then all of a sudden they can pay, you know, they think that when you have an Oscar, you can pay for the people. They're too expensive. So the artists that like independent movies hate the Oscars, really, ultimately. When they find it out, or they find it out, because there's, you know that, there's very few super big movies anymore. In the old days, there was a lot of big movies. There's much less now. And if you are deemed as a player, you got to play e-games and there's some tremendous competition. And the people that love acting, that's their passion, that's their fulfillment, they can't do independent films because now they are deemed societal that they are the top of the mountain. And again, it's like if, let's say, you and I want to make a movie and say, wouldn't it be great? Taylor Swift would exactly be that character. We couldn't put her in. We couldn't. That would be perhaps the most fulfilling experience for Taylor for a month, you know, to create that movie. She would never forget it. And it can never happen because the system says that can't happen. I mean, it's crazy.
I think about, like, and I agree, because what you're talking about is a very beautifully, or a prison that's been designed to look cute, even though what you're describing is entrapment. Exactly. My broker up here in New York, who was helping me find like my real estate, you know, up here and stuff, was telling me how she's not overly fond of dealing with corporate people and like high level business people. She finds them to be heart achingly boring. You know, cookie cutter, all the same. And there's just not a whole lot of, in her opinion, layers to people who do the same shit again and again and again. You know, get up, go to work, hit up Starbucks, get a bagel, catch the train, you know, wear the outfits, go to the board meetings, rinse, wash, repeat. She's all like, they're just like fucking lame to her. And I wonder if on some deep level, people who have, and it doesn't matter how much money they're making either, like at some point it's just the same shit. They get worn out
on
all this extensive travel everywhere and all, and et cetera, back and forth all over the world. And I wonder if they think the same thing, like their life is boring. It looks like everyone else, the guy in the next cubicle, the girl in the next office building, all their friends downtown, you know, it's not that much variance. I wonder if they harbor a certain sort of dissatisfaction in their soul.
I feel very sorry for all the top people, because this is what we want, right? The people that are in middle class or below middle class, they want to get to be a leader. And then why do they want to get a leader? Because I couldn't figure out, because I was a natural leader all the time, and I could never figure out why everybody wants to be a leader, because I am a guy that cares for humans, and I'm the guy that spins the plates and makes sure that all the plates are spun. Not one that says, oh, I don't like the green plates. No, the yellow plates, I don't know. I just focus on the black plates or on the red plates. It's a very, you have to be the most self-aware person when you are a leader. You cannot be anybody that just system out of the event and says, oh, I can do this really well. You need to be, as any leader, you need to be the most self-aware person in the whole thing. And you need to be understanding humans, and that you learn through self-awareness. So that's one thing. And I think when people believe, and I got the answer, because I talked to a lot of people, and they said they want to be leaders to be finally not having to do the boring system work, but that others put their system work and they can do what they want to do. But that this is the big lie. If you think, oh, I want to be Taylor Swift, you think Taylor Swift can do what she wants to do? No way. Do you think Elon Musk can do what he wants to do? I think we have a better time, even with a lack of fame and money or whatever, have a better time being human than system relevant super leaders than completely destroy. Because you know very well that the people that surrounded leaders, the system sees, oh my God, there's money to be made. They're not letting you to be human. They're not letting you to be you who you are. And that's why you have so many people that are leaders that get disturbed, like Putin, like all these people that do wars and all of a sudden, they get disturbed. They get disturbed and they put in a corner, and you know when you get the cutest animal, you put it in a corner, it bites. And they're the survival mechanism is the most. And that's why we say, oh, power corrupts. No, it doesn't. It is the system craziness, how we set up systems that as soon as I can get some money, fame, or success, everybody sucks you in. And these people and the system leaders have such a hard time to balance this because their whole life they sacrificed to get in that position. And then they get in the position and it's not, this Tony Berlin, you know, why that? I mean, this guy loved what he does and everything, but it killed him to be the master. And you see this, it's like one after the other kills themselves. Amy Winehouse, all these people, these are super talented, super, they sacrificed everything to get to this position. And the position is like, was a lie, sorry, it was a system lie. Like the Oscar, or like everything else, like every other reward, you know?
I concur. So, you know, we better enjoy our days now because when we become rich and famous and we'll be on a schedule and we'll have all these people buzzing around. But there are a lot of followers who are in leadership positions, and this is like an epidemic globally. They got no business being there because being a natural born leader is a gift from God, from the heavens, whatever you kind of call it. You can't go to business school to really to have that ability to have empathy, leadership, and that charisma that makes people want to follow you. I believe that one of the main things people hated about Barack Obama is that he has that thing, that it factor. You know, he ain't white, and yet people were just magnetized to him because he is a natural born leader, and it pissed off people who covet such things. But honey, either you have it or you don't. And if you don't, go set your ass down somewhere and find out where you do have it and stop throwing shade and being hateful at people who do, because you probably have it somewhere, just not in the thing that you're envious.
Gotta be a leader. Yeah.
So rather than being envious and hateful at Barack Obama or Michael or myself because we got it going on in our element, like Michael said, he had to stumble and make mistakes before he found that groove. Same thing for me, same thing for you. But I can guarantee you being bitter and negative and nasty and hateful is not going to help you grow or get you anywhere.
Yep. And I was so in crisis that I couldn't be angry just and blame people because that would have killed me. You can't finger point and blame. You've got to figure out why. And then you have to understand, see, this is what helps us so much when we segregate our existence and saying, okay, what is system relevance? What bugs me? System relevance, which shouldn't bug you anything. It just is. You know, it's your leader and your leader. Boom. You're not a leader. You're not a leader. You can't force yourself through it. I mean, I cannot force myself to be Jimi Hendrix. You know, there is Jimi Hendrix. There is wonderful guitarist. And I can't be that, but I can be this. This what I'm right now. And that's what people understand. There's a lot of research done that 97% of 3 to 4 year old kids are geniuses. And when they finish and graduate and everything, there's only 3% left that are the gifted. So 3% less are everybody is one of one and everybody is a superstar and it's all right and just can't figure it out because they haven't learned what it is to be human. They have to be made system relevant right away, what systems need. So I'm working also on educational model, but because I have no education, I have 6 years school, I had to repeat because I couldn't comprehend or regurgitate. And we look for team sports to be organized, the masculine team art, where we create, where it doesn't matter what it is, attending to a pet, so nonverbal interaction like you have by nature. And then awareness class, and everybody does everything. So if the artists say, I don't want to do a sports, then you say, okay, you are creative, you're an artist, then do you do the jerseys, you be the referee, you do this. And the guy says, I'm a quarterback, I'm not playing the second fiddle. No, you put him and you put him there to play the old lady that we don't have. So you play that in the arts. And the experience that everybody is together, every race, there's no thing of segregation. And then have awareness and talk about it. Because once you know what it is to be human and you are aware of that, because kids are naturally aware of it. They have no racism. They have no genderism. They have no thing. They are fearless. You know, they play with animals. They do things that is crazy. But then we educate them right away and all the helicopter parents come in and then they are lost and never find themselves. So that's why I want to teach them first, before they get system relevant and to get any education, what it means to be human. And you don't have to wait like you and me. We have to, all this time, we had to unprogram ourselves to say, oh my God, it's not about me. It's that was not my, and I'm not shamed. I'm not feeling guilty. That this was just because I wasn't aware of it. And the whole, and that's why I can't blame all these leaders that are screwed up because they're not aware, you know?
This makes me think about how in X-Men and when Jean Grey had that Dark Phoenix inside of her and Professor Xavier put those psychic blocks up to keep that Dark Phoenix tamed. So the helicopter parents, social media, the world, people's quote unquote friends who are around them, and especially in toxic masculine circles, there's a lot of unintentional and sometimes intentional psychic blocks that are put up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm hearing you say is when people are young, those blocks aren't there. By the time they graduate high school, they're all blocked up. And then now we're in our adult years going to all kinds of hypnotherapy therapists or whatever, trying to basically do what the Dark Phoenix had to do, was to move the blocks out of the way. Now, I'm not saying we all have some crazy psychic fiery bird inside of us that's trying to burn everything down and be destructive. But I think everyone gets my meaning, like the core and the epicenter, your inner child, your creativity is slowly imprisoned gradually over the years of you growing up that you can't figure out who you are while you're not happy. And then you end up chasing things like sex, money, leadership positions, rather than being authentic to your true self. Now, since we mentioned race, I have a perspective about this that I want to get your opinion on. Okay. Especially now that we're in Black History Month, it is my opinion, as somebody who is considered to be African American, that I personally don't care to emphasize, say, like my Blackness, quote unquote. Racism is real. The struggles that the ancestors went through, 100% real. It affects us today. I hate what they did with affirmative action. All relevant. Sometimes, though, in certain rooms that I've been in where it's been like, say, all Black people or in all Black families, I feel like the emphasis is so much on trying to be Black and what Black being Black means, that the individual is lost in the process. You know, and it was so bad.
Beautiful.
It was so bad to the point growing up that if I wanted to, because I was into like alternative music as well as hip hop, you know, Alanis Morissette, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. But, you know, if I wanted to play alternative music or go to Gadzooks or Hot Topic and get JNCO jeans or Sidewinders, then the Black kids at school, you know, are calling me names and stuff because I'm not dressing Black, talking Black, acting Black. So I can't be myself without looking like a sellout, even though I have not done anything except for worn a different color brand of jeans or dare to listen to rock and roll. You know, what do you think?
First of all, art has no judgment or anything. Art wants to be created and exposed. It doesn't say, this is Black art. This system says this is Black rap. But I was playing EPMD, Grandmaster Flash. I was a DJ. When I heard the first rap album, I wasn't saying, oh, that's Black music. That's why it's so great. I thought, oh, my God, look at that rhythm. Because I'm a percussionist, right? And I said, oh, my God, look at this rhythm. And I said, oh, my God, I can't handle it. But I played Sinatra, then Public Enemy, then I played Morissette, then I played the Stones. I mixed it all together because I never was defined by, I was never defined by system segregation because I couldn't fit systems. I tell you, I would be very systematic probably now if I would have not been neurodiverse and fit in the system right away. It would have treated me too. It would have, what do you call it, conditioned me too, you know? But I'm not conditioned. And that's why I was successful, actually. I hit with as a DJ, and when I did fashion shows, I hit the human common denominator, which is human. It's not gender. It's not race. It's a common denominator. It's human. And I totally agree because I feel the same about woman. I feel women want to be system relevantly equal. And when you are by nature equal, like race, like every Asian, like every black person, like any person on this world is equal because nature doesn't make mistakes. You wouldn't be alive if you wouldn't equal. You would be long extinguished. You would have died out. If everybody should be white, then there wouldn't be any race because nature would have taken care of it. Nature doesn't make mistakes. So it's like the zebra cannot be angry at the giraffe or at the horse because they look different. The look, how you look makes nothing. And then when the system segregates you into, we conquered this land and that's why we are the bosses and we won. And now you are secondary. When the guys get run into the war because they can kill better and they can focus more on that killing, the women are secondary and they're going to cook for the soldiers. And they serve the soldiers like the slaves serve the people that got your country, that got the money or got the country. And this is completely systemic. It's created systemically. It wasn't before. Do you see a zebra attacking a horse? Do you see a giraffe killing an ape? No. You all dance together. All living beings dance together. And everybody has a purpose because everybody's one on one. So the problem is, I feel when you told this story, I feel the same with gender, which is also system relevant creation, a categorization that becomes a stereotype. And then the woman or the race or whatever that is, sexuality, integrates. For example, you mentioned social media. Social media could be to cover our, and it functions like that, but it is not said that we can all interconnect to each other. All humans can be one and interconnect, exchange, talk, because we can travel, we can fly to everywhere. And today we found that we have friends all over the world. Yeah, I mean, I'm from Austria, I'm living in LA, and I'm talking to you. You know, it's just, and we find how we can help each other, collaborate with each other, not how I can be better than you. Win or lose, win or lose, win or lose. Humans can't win or lose or be right or wrong because everybody, there is no right or wrong. Everybody's unique. We can collaborate. And so when I think a woman, I say, please, they are very protected by angels, if you ask me, because they're not fighting to be system relevant. Because when race or gender or sexuality gets system relevant, that means you're flawed by nature. You're flawed by nature, and you should be thankful to the system. You're more indebted to the systems that it gave you equality. You are equal. Every race, every gender is equal. Equal by nature. When you do a reverse engineering, what systems actually created to make you different value, then you distort the whole thing. Period. There's only one truth. We are all humans. And everybody's a one-on-one, period. Everybody has a different view on life, too. So you have 8 billion people that are all one-of-one and 8 billion views, life perspectives. You tell me what is right and wrong.
Y'all, Del Michael said, period. Period.
Yes. We totally period. Totally period.
Yeah. So I'm going to read their little excerpt from part of art book. And I want to get some thoughts on this. So in from the book, Michael says, I discovered art has been misunderstood on a fundamental level. Now we're shifting gears to talking about like primarily art for a second here. Says we distorted its essential properties and reduced art mostly to bad money-making propositions or higher forms of entertainment.
Yep.
Talk to me about what you think went wrong, because we've talked about the value of art from your perspective of using it to inspire people to discover their true selves. Was art ever doing that? And we're talking about performing arts, you know, any type of artistic media, you know, the canvases behind us, all of this. Yep. Was it ever being done right? And if so, when did it stop and what happened?
It got done right when in the old ages, a really poor guy was sitting in a corner and eating his lunch and said, oh my God, I want to make it. This guy's made it a caricature of you or a perfect likeness, a portrait. And the guy that worked for the king saw that. And then, no, the king then everybody was bored, right? There was nothing. That's why you had jesters and everything. And that's why this, oh, my God, come with me to the king. I want to show it. Or give me that, and I'm going to show it to the king. And the king liked that drawing, liked that comedy, you know? And then it's, I'm your patron. I'm going to, you, and then out of that came, oh, you can paint. Oh, here's the oils that you need. And you paint me, but make sure that the horse is bigger than I am, or I'm bigger than the horse or whatever. So they use that and enjoyed that interaction, right? When more people started being artists, the moment the system could select what sells. So for example, they can say nothing for me, but they can sell everything from you. They don't care about me. They don't call me an artist. They call you an artist, pump you up, and sell your work. And I think that's where I think, because you are a commodity. For every system, and you see what's happening with Taylor Swift. I hate to refer to her, but she's such a great example. Now they all started attacking her. First, she was the best thing since sliced bread. And now she is like, you know, oh my God. And now all they attack us. And the moment she took a system relevant decision by giving her, which, how can you make, that was a major mistake. How can you make you vote what you vote and doesn't matter what you vote. It's irrelevant what you vote because you are one of one. You don't know what I vote. And to make yourself think, oh, the Democrats want this and the Republicans want this. It's insane. That's why I never took a party. I'm independent. Because you can not say that you... What?
I'll say, tell me again.
What happened?
Tell me again the person you're referencing right now.
Taylor Swift.
Okay. I didn't
know. I'm saying Taylor Swift, everybody wanted her to win, right? Everybody wanted her to win. And she's such a good example. I have nothing to do with Taylor Swift, but she's such a great example. She was the greatest. And before her was Billie Eilish, right? And now they shifted all to Taylor Swift. And Billie Eilish had to change her image and everything. And just to be system relevant, is that her? Is that not her? Is the previous Billie Eilish her? Or is that new Billie Eilish her? Taylor Swift made a decision, a system relevant decision, said, I'm against this party. I'm for this party. She's doing a system relevant decision, and now it's segregating the humans. So all the people that love her because of her music, the natural thing, hate her because she's the wrong party. Now I'm telling you, every time you do system relevant things in your career, you lose. Every time. Every time. Because you're segregating people. You can say, and have you ever heard politicians say talk about humans? They talk about the American people, the New York citizens, the LA people, the Californians. They never talk about, okay, it could be help all humans. The only select media provides a problem, pumps up a problem, and then politicians, and I tell you that because I'm a political advisor. So the politician take what is hot in media, solve the problem, and then take great, but there's much bigger problems in the world that they segregate that. They helped, let's say, helped only the whatever. The green people, let's say that. They only help the green people, but almost nobody is green. And they get awarded that they help the green people and whatever. But the green people itself don't feel the help. It's just that one they saved. And this is and all they talk is about system relevant thing. They're not talking what you and I talk about humans. They talk about, okay, how can we get more taxes or less taxes? How can we solve this problem? How can we solve welfare? They never talk about humans. And that's why I think a system relevant talk is complete waste of time. That's why podcasts cleaning up with media. Media has losers everywhere because podcastings are talking about human issues, one human to another. And other people can actually relate. You can't relate to system talk because it's not genuine. It is 20 people team that make you a news trying to get as highest rating as possible. It's not about the truth, about helping people, supporting humanity. It's creating dissonance. It's creating attention. And this is another thing. Attention. In nature, you get two ways. Either I want to blow up to attract you, or I'm crawling and I'm crying and say, get away with me. I'm pissed. I need to submit. So this is why I need attention. But in systems, systemically, what we use attention for, it never gets anywhere. So it's always false hope. We have false hope. I'm going to be. So everybody's a mindset, also very systemic, of false hope. When I get my corner office and my CEO title, it will justify all the sacrifice I did for systems. And it never does. And then you're really pissed. When you work 30 years for getting a position, being the mayor, getting that, whatever, and then it doesn't pay off, and then you're actually more sucked out than you and I are. Oh my God. Then you, of course, people, leaders are the, and that's power corrupts. No, it doesn't corrupt. Power doesn't corrupt. It's ourselves. We have set a system and we can change it. We can change social media tomorrow to say it's an exchange medium and we can figure out better ways to make money for the systems. You know, we created them. We can change it. We are not the God of nature. We're not the God of our birth. We are the gods of systems. So we can change them, adapt them, and we are creative. Everybody's creative. We can update all the systems that we have because we're constantly growing. Humans constantly grow.
My word of caution to the world about that, and I echo you, is the example that Jesus Christ gave from the Hebrew Bible when he was going through the cornfields with his disciples and they got to picking the corn and eating it, or when he was doing miracles on the Sabbath day and they were eating, you know, and I'm sorry, he gave the example of David, he eating like the priest food and things like that.
Yeah,
was against the rules, as was him doing miracles on the Sabbath day. And the Lord made it clear to people that rules are made for people, or systems were made for people, not people for rules, or not people for systems. And so he took the liberty to adjust the systems or the rules and everything in order to keep people in community and to make it work, because everybody's going to have unique circumstances. Yep. The rules are there as a general guide, so there's not chaos and pandemonium. But we never, ever sacrifice a chance to do good for somebody or to elevate or to heal, yep, just for the sake of keeping the system intact, which is something the church completely fucking...
Yes, 100%.
That's why I don't fuck with the church, because they completely missed all that. I don't give a damn about it. And that's why I work for myself, because I will not be a slave to systems and rules and shit, because it's not about the person. It's about keeping the system going. And I say, fuck the Matrix.
But, you know, but keep the system going. But I believe we can keep the system going. We created systems. We can change it. If you cannot talk to each other, then I'm sorry. We voted in you. We voted every politician in for safety, security, and for peace, to live in peace, to be the person of happiness in America, at least. And that's why we created leaders, not our tax money, to kill other humans somewhere else that we don't even know. Do you want that? I'm coming to you and say, you know what, Devanon, you know what? Give me a grant. I want to buy a gun to kill somebody in Russia. This is exactly what government, and we can't allow systems to do that. We can't allow systems to say, we take the tax money that you earned hard to kill other humans. So humans have to be first. We cannot violate other humans. We have to collaborate and find a system to have them collaborate. Not win, lose, good, bad, right, wrong. The linearity of systems is killing us. It was good for a long time because, you know, it had to get started, it has to learn something. But now is a time where we have to update systems. And they need artists, they need neurodiverse people to show them how to make it more human-centric. And when you're human-centric, everybody wins. And in nature, win, lose. If you're an animal that is eaten, you're the weakest animal, and you know you're sacrificing for the bigger good that the balance in nature is given. But you're not just the lion doesn't think, oh, I'm gonna kill all the gazelles so I have 2 years enough to eat. That's irrelevant. That is not natural.
I heard you mention the word neurodiverse. So we're getting ready to wrap it up and switch over into our joke section. But I want you to please, before we do that, talk to us about your, like, what neurodiversity is, which is basically people's having their own way of thinking about things. And if you're on the autism spectrum, or how that relates. And usually I let my guests have like the last word to say whatever they want. But today I'd like you to, after you explain neurodiversity, where you're at with that and how you can be misunderstood with that. I think a lot of people need to hear that. After you explain that, I want you to speak to specifically like young children who are at that vulnerable, I don't know, 3-year-old stage, 5-year-old stage, maybe 3. You know, like back when you said that most people start off highly intellectual, then it gets stamped out of them and blockaded. You know, a word of encouragement to somebody at that level. So what is neurodiversity? Where are you at on the spectrum? And a word of encouragement to somebody young.
Okay. Neurodiversity is another system term, like black, white, woman, man, sexuality. Because it's this, there's no dyslexic person that is the same as the other. The system couldn't put a pattern in. The system cannot put a pattern in if you have PTSD. It cannot be autism. It cannot put a pattern in. So all these mental abnormalities, quote unquote, which I don't think are abnormalities, they're the uniqueness, but they're not abnormalities, are called systemically neurodiverse. And we are all fitting in that thing in subcategories, like everything, it has to be categorized. Which is good to understand it, to dive deeper. But I'm dyslexic with dysgraphia. meaning that my dyslexia also has a brain hand. You know, that's why I cannot do portraits. I can do abstract art, but I can't do portraits. I can't play guitar. I can play percussion because that's natural. That is a natural left, right. That is a natural, you know, percussion is so old. It's so in us. It's more essential than systemically creating an instrument like guitar. And I believe from all my, I'm an advocate for neurodiversity. I also support and am in the board of the Octopus Movement, and I help them, I support them, because they are explaining that we are normal, that actually it's not abnormal to be neurodiverse. It's just a different, that you, it's like you have a different color than me. It's, I think differently than you, but I'm thinking and you are living. So we're both existing. We are both humans, and we can enrich each other by explaining that we are different, right? I mean, and I think neurodiverse could I think why we are neurodiverse is we don't have the energy to adapt. We don't have the energy to adapt, because the most, as you said before, the most adapted are the most boring people. The most system relevant people are the most boring people, you know? And Elon Musk is neurodiverse, and he created something genius. He created his own systems in systems. Only now he has to connect with the other systems and the problems come. And that's why he collapses and all this other stuff, you know? So wonderful human being. Everybody's a wonderful human being till you get in touch with the distortion of system relevance. And because it's deemed as the holy truth, but it's not the holy truth.
Okay.
So that's, you want me to know, what you want to know something else, right?
No, just a word of encouragement to the little children out there who might be considering.
You are one, all you munchkins. First of all, you're not small. I never talk down to children, and I never talk down to elder humans. So I want you to figure out how you are unique, and this is going to fulfill you, and you don't have to sacrifice or anything. It's going to fulfill you, and it gets your passion. So always chase fulfillment and your passion.
Absolutely. Absolutely beautiful. Here's to everybody finding their uniqueness and owning that shit. Feel free to be weird, y'all. Nobody wants to be the same old same, you know, be strange, be different, be unique, think for yourself. And when somebody asks you why you think what you think, why you believe what you believe, say it's due to your own personal convictions and research, not because all the other guys are doing it, all the other girls are doing it, all the other them are doing it, or because you're Black or because you're white or because you're whatever race or because you're French or because you're American. Do it because it's you. Find the you within this universe.
and don't be different for different sake. Find your uniqueness. Nature has given you a one of one. This is super special. So every time you ever think, oh my God, I don't know if I want to live in this world, think again, because you are one of 8 billion. Can you imagine if there was a Ferrari that was one of all the Ferraris? It would be endless money. And you are human. You're not a thing like a Ferrari. So you are super valuable. And be find you. It's finding you. Don't look outside.
Absolutely. So let's switch over to our dad jokes. I have three. They're from a website called growingfamily.co.uk. Totally corny. Don't have to answer them. They're just meant to be silly in the light and the mood. So first one, where do vampires go to buy their art supplies?
Art supplies? Where would they go? The vampires. Okay. So they love the you know, they are in love with blood red, right? So they started taking the blood red and seeing what smears around on clothes and everything. And then they said, oh my God, this is kind of boring, the red only, right? We got to get some other thing. And so they take grease, which is black and red. And then they go further this is what they get. I think they just naturally, because they get the natural thing of, you know, sucking people's blood. Now they get the natural thing from stealing some grease. And then the next thing going wherever they get some paint, you know?
Well, that's a very good description. And the name of the place that they go to is called Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh, Pennsylvania. Ask me where to get that thing. I said, how they get it. Okay. So
I know these are just meant to be corny. So dad joke number two, what kind of shoes do artists wear? Like what brand?
What feels good? What feels good? Because artists don't care about shoes. They are barefoot. They're whatever. They don't care about shoes. If they're most comfortable, they don't care about clothes either. The most, especially the real artists that are not system relevant, they don't care about clothes. They don't have money to buy Louis Vuitton. So they wear whatever they wear and they have to be comfortable. I would say artists are just happy to have shoes because they're so poor, you know?
Amen to that. If they were to wear a brand, though, the dad joke said that it would be called Skechers.
Yeah, they're comfy. The Skechers are fun. They're comfy, you know, and they want to have comfy shoes.
Right. So then the last one is, why did the artist add sugar to their paint?
To give it texture.
To make it more palatable.
See, I'm not a joke. I don't understand jokes with my neurodiversity, but I use my creativity to dance with you, you know, but it's just perfect. You see, we actually expressed what we preach. You didn't say, oh, you said that wrong. That is only one answer. No, we danced. And in that dance, we both expanded our perception. Right?
We danced, we twirled, as we do. So, y'all, this has been my beautiful, beautiful guest, Michael.
Magruch,
very beautiful ass name. That could be like a new designer bag or something, Magruch. And all his contact information, the website will go in the show notes. Michael with two L's, M.com, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, or X, and then YouTube. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show today, being so doggone colorful. And I look forward to releasing this, especially the YouTube video, because this is going to be like so colorful and so fun. So thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for allowing me to paint.
Indeed. Thank you all so much for joining us today and for taking some time to invest into yourself and into the lives of your loved ones. Please visit us at sexdrugsandjesus.com and check out our resource page, our spiritual service offerings, my blog, my books, and other writings that God has partnered with me to create. Find us on any social media platform. Stay strong, my people. And just remember that everything is gonna be all right.